Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Mid-Delta Auction is holding its 18th annual end-of-year public auction on Thursday, December 5th at our Greenwood location. Visit Mid-Delta's website at mdauction.com for more info or call Will at 662-299-2414.
Welcome in, everybody, to the post-game edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Glad that you are with me on what has been an absolutely insane day, a hard-to-fathom day in college football. We love college football. We love what it brings to us. Every single year, we know that we're going to have weekends like the one that we just had, and it's not even over yet. It's only 8 o'clock as this is being recorded right now, but upsets everywhere, big time upsets too, like Missouri gets absolutely demolished by Texas A&M. And then, oh, by the way, Vanderbilt beat Alabama. What a weekend it has been. But we are here to talk about Ole Miss, of course. Ole Miss gets a dominating win. Now, it wasn't pretty at times. In fact, offensively at times, there was some sloppiness at the quarterback position and then at the tackles as well. A couple of drop passes mixed in there on top of it all, but a dominating win for Ole Miss over South Carolina. 27-3 is the final score. We will react to that together on this edition of the Rebel Report. If you're watching on Super Talk's YouTube and you want more Ole Miss content from me, pull out your phone, your favorite podcast app. Your phone's got one, I promise. Search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. And don't forget to like the video as well. Leave a comment. I would love to see what you guys have to say about this game. So looking forward to reading some of those after you listen, and don't forget to subscribe to the podcast as well. Before we get into it, I want to tell you that this edition of the Rebel Report and all editions of the Rebel Report is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. If you have been personally injured or you have a small business in which you may need some legal advice for whatever reason, or maybe a contract dispute, I've got the person for you. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered. He's in Saltillo, Mississippi, but he can service you anywhere in this great state. Save this number. If you're a small business owner, you may not need him today, but you may need legal advice down the road. Or, you know, if the unfortunate event comes when you have been personally injured and you don't know where to turn, you don't want to be left out in the cold, have this number saved on your phone. DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, 662-397-9799, 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today, the Gregory Law Firm, presenting the Rebel Report podcast. So we'll do what I always do, what I call box score house cleaning, read you some of the stats from the game, and then we'll get to the reaction to what we saw in this game. So Ole Miss, again, 27-3, the final. Jackson Dart, not a good day for Jackson Dart, really at all. He was 14 of 27 for 285 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. There were a couple of drops. There was one in particular that Juice Wells dropped in the end zone that should have been a touchdown. But vertical passing for Jackson Dart was really bad today. And I know that's been a point of contention, conversation around Jackson Dart is, well, the deep ball is not good enough. It's not good enough. Today was different. That is not average Jackson Dart. And last week he wasn't particularly good either, but today was especially not good for him. There were open receivers. He missed Wells on the near side, poorly, really underthrown football. Just not good. He missed Wells again. Would have been an easy touchdown, just completely overthrew him there in the end zone. So not a good day vertically throwing the football for Jackson Dart. Part of me wonders if he's pressing a little bit, if he's just allowed himself to get uncomfortable, because he's absolutely better throwing the ball down the field than we saw today. And then the next question is, you know, is he hurt? But if he's hurt, then they should not be, and I doubt that they are, purposefully running him, especially when he's putting his right shoulder down into defenders as he's running. So I think, I don't know what it is. You know, sometimes it's just tough playing quarterback, I guess, but not his best day at all throwing the football. 2 weeks in a row of not having good days. He is better than that. He has shown you that he's better than that. and he needs to be next weekend in Baton Rouge if Ole Miss is going to have a chance to win. So he can be better than that. It just was not good today, quite frankly. Jordan Watkins had 5 catches for 72 yards. Juice Wells had 3 for 97, had that really bad fumble through the end zone that went out for a touchback on what should have been a touchdown, or at worst, an out at the 1 situation, and Ole Miss punches it in a couple of plays later. Trey Harris had 3 catches for 81 yards. He was hurt in the game. I do think that he's okay. He was running on the sidelines, riding the bike. You know, maybe adrenaline was getting there and there's an injury to be concerned about. But he was up moving around on the sidelines in the second half of the game. So that's something to monitor as the week goes on. Caden Lee had a pair of catches. Priesthorn had just 1 in the game. Ole Miss running the football. Henry Parrish did get banged up there at the end of the game. So that's something to keep an eye on. 21 carries for 81 yards and a touchdown. That's 4 per carry. Jackson Dart had 8 for 44. That's 5.5 per carry. Matt Jones had 10 attempts for 13 yards in the game. I do not understand the Bentley thing. We've talked about it. It would just be broken record at this point trying to figure out what's going on there. Jones did look like he got hurt there at the end of the game. We'll see what Ole Miss is able to do next week. I don't understand it. But at this point, you know, saying I don't understand it over and over is just a waste of your and my time. But we'll see what happens next week. J.J. Pegues had 2 carries for 2 yards and 2 touchdowns. This second touchdown, man, he's got some feet. He's athletic. That is a big man that moves very light on his feet. Ole Miss defensively was dominant today, absolutely dominant. We'll get to that more in a second. Just the numbers, T.J. Dottery led Ole Miss in tackles. He was very good, had a sack, 2 tackles for loss, and Terrion Perkins was excellent today as well, especially in the absence of Princely Umanmielen. He had a sack and 2 tackles for loss as well. Trey Amos had a good day. The secondary was better today, not perfect, but better. He had 8 tackles, a pass breakup, and an interception. I thought Walter Nolan was a beast today. He had 3 tackles for loss and 2 sacks and 5 tackles. Jared Ivey was good. He had 2 TFLs. Both of those were sacks. Chris Paul was good. Now, he only had 4 tackles, but I think he really got after the quarterback in those delayed blitzes and really disrupted things all over the place. It was a dominating day for Ole Miss's defense, and that's where I think we need to start this conversation, now that we're done with the box score and just going through the numbers. The story of the day was Ole Miss's defense and how dominant they were. And frankly, I think South Carolina's numbers are deceiving. They're not good, and I still think that they're deceiving. 162 yards passing for Sellers. Ole Miss got burnt a couple of times on the underneath stuff, and then there was a handful of 3rd and longs that they gave up. A couple of them were just elite catches. You had one-handed grab that led to a first down. I don't like at times how soft Ole Miss can play on 3rd down. Part of me thinks that they need to be a little bit more aggressive at times on 3rd down, but still, only 162 yards passing, only 150 yards rushing for South Carolina. So Sellers was held to 3.7 per carry on 15 attempts. Rocket Sanders only had 29 yards on 8 attempts. 12 of those came on 1, so 17 yards on his other 7 attempts. And Attaway had 34 yards on 9 attempts. That's only 3.8 per. So Ole Miss's defensive front, 6 sacks, 10 tackles for loss. Just an absolutely dominating day from the Ole Miss defense. And that's 2 weeks in a row now that you have had relative dominance defensively. And so the front 6 was really good. Nolan was a beast. Ivy was good. Pegues was good, especially when he was able to neutralize the fake punt from South Carolina. So I think it was Chris Paul that actually made the tackle, but Pegues made the play by, you know, just forcing the issue up the middle to where Chris Paul was able to clean that up. Really heady play by veteran football players there to stop that. But I do think that the back end of the defense was better. You had a PI that led to a first down. Again, you gave up a couple of third downs, but this week, significantly better than last week. It was a much better game from Amos. He was much better today. I thought that Hamilton was better today. It was an improvement in the back end of the defense compared to what you saw a week ago. They certainly did not beat themselves near as much as they did, and they made some stops and clean plays and some clean pass breakups against the South Carolina group of wide receivers. So truly great day for Ole Miss. They have played two SEC games, and they have given up. So I'm not a math guy here. So they gave up 20 points last week when they were on the field for 40 minutes and three today. So they are giving up 12 points per game, 11 and a half points per game so far in SEC play. That is, I can't believe I just had to do that on my calculator. It's been a long day. But yeah, that's how good that they've been defensively so far in SEC play. And it was especially good today. And on top of that, look around what happened in college football today. Look at how difficult it is to win on the road in this sport. Missouri got beat by 31 points today. Now, maybe Missouri's more of a fraud, but still, they got beat by 31 points on the road today. Alabama went to Vanderbilt and lost. You've got Tennessee right now. It's only halftime, but Tennessee has 0 points. They're down 3-0 in Fayetteville at the moment. Undefeated top 16 Iowa State is down in the third quarter to 2-3 Baylor. USC is on the road right now at 2-3 Minnesota. Number 11 USC at 2-3 Minnesota in the third quarter, and they're tied at 10. Michigan is struggling right now in the third quarter with a 3-2 Washington team. Undefeated Duke is right now down at halftime at Georgia Tech. Let me see if I can keep going. If I can find a few more. I mean, that underscores my point, but I'm just going to keep rolling with this because why not? Now we're getting into talking about Miami of Ohio and Toledo. So, point being, in college football today, just getting a win sometimes is good enough. And just getting a win is difficult in and of itself. And Ole Miss went into a hostile environment, a very hostile environment, a packed, rowdy Williams-Brice Stadium. And basically, so Ole Miss's first offensive possession was not good. There was a holding that knocked it off kilter. But after they punted to South Carolina, they dominated the game. They were the significantly better team. They were in control throughout the entirety of the game. And when you look at all of those things that I just read to you today, that cannot be said for college football as a whole. I think there's a big picture thing going on here where parity is greater than ever. This new era has brought some of that in. But just in the context of today, Ole Miss went on the road against a team that beat Kentucky by 25 and a team that, if not for a phantom flag that called back a pick six, would have beaten LSU. And Ole Miss went there, and they were dominant and in complete control, and they were dominant and in complete control when their quarterback, I think, played really poorly for his standards. So that means something. The way that they dominated the game today, considering the location and what's going on elsewhere, really means something. Lane Kiffin in the postgame was pretty satisfied with his team's performance, considering how they had to get off the mat after last week and kind of refocus and largely played well. I thought the offensive game plan was much better. If Jackson Dart hits on a couple of what should have been pretty easy throws, then Ole Miss has 40-plus points on the scoreboard. They still should have 34 on the scoreboard if Juice Wells just holds onto the football on the way into the end zone. So a much better plan for Ole Miss. They got a lot of people involved, especially after Trey Harris got hurt. It got bogged down a little bit, but they were intentional with getting the ball out of Dart's hands quickly for a while. That they involved Watkins, and I mean, I'd still like to see more of Priest Corm, but still a much better game plan, in my opinion, today. Was it perfect? No, it wasn't perfect, I guess, but it was a much better planned game for Ole Miss today. Still struggled. I think both tackles really had a rough day today. Some holding penalties mixed with just getting beat. Those two defensive ends are, I mean, does anybody on Ole Miss's schedule have that pair of ends? If anybody, it's Georgia. Now, Oklahoma's quite good defensively, really across the board, but those are two high-end defensive ends. So you have to give them some grace for that. But not a banner day for Ole Miss's offensive tackles. They could have been better today. They were not. It does help that the two guys across the field are elite at what they do at getting after the quarterback, but still. So if you're looking for reasons to complain, those are that's a reason as well. But all in all, a really, really good day for Ole Miss. Like I said earlier, Jackson Dart can be better than he was today. That's the encouraging thing about at least how the last couple of games have gone. They've been dominant defensively and not perfect offensively. And if anybody can figure out how to get more out of their offense, it's Lane Kiffin. And you know, because you've seen Jackson Dart play better than he has over the last couple of weeks. So going to Baton Rouge, I know they're really banged up right now. That's something to keep an eye on for sure. That they need the bye week this week instead of next week. But they go into Baton Rouge with some momentum and some confidence. Or they should have some momentum and some confidence. So we'll see if they're able to capitalize on that and go to Baton Rouge and get a win and get to the bye week where most people thought that they would be anyway. They certainly avoided a landmine, and you can't say that about everybody in college football this weekend. This podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online, absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you. Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. Podcast is also brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Thank you guys for tuning in. I appreciate you, and don't forget to leave a comment, like, and subscribe and all that. If you have not subscribed to the podcast, again, wherever you get them, just search Rebel Report and subscribe. We'll be back with the Sunday edition as always. Hope to see you there. And we'll talk to you again on here live after the LSU game. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.